So as I was saying when sort of at the beginning, and I saw one of the a colleague of mine, a friend of mine who lives in a little bit down the road in Efrat. He said one of the interesting things about this whole insanity is that a whole bunch of halachot that we don't really think about too much became relevant. And one of them has been this ongoing debate about porch minyanim and backyard minyanim, where you're not in the same place, but you can see each other and can you join? And again, I want to focus a lot on the tshuvot, and the basics of the sugya, but I also want to talk about some of the meta issues that came up here. Because obviously the reason we got into this was because in different communities in different ways there have been shutdowns of shuls. In Israel it's been much more intense, and we couldn't for a few weeks go more than 100 meters from our house, unless it was for food or for medicine or a variety of other things that were deemed essential. But minyanim were shut down, especially since yeshivot and shuls and Bate Knesset were the places in Israel where most of, or the highest percentage of cases of the coronavirus were spread. So at the beginning, let's take where I live for an example. At the beginning, where I risk an allowed street minyanim, and then once the shutdown got more intense, so we banned all minyanim for a few weeks. And then over the last day of Pesach, Rav Riskin sent out a letter that he decided that he was going to permit porch backyard minyanim. And because we're on a hill, it actually works not bad. If you think it works halachically, physically, it's not so bad. Like where I live, so I'm on one part of the hill, and my backyard neighbors are the street behind me is down on the mountain, right? So you can see quite far from various places. So you can see multiple layers in the mountain. You can see enough people. So there ended up being like this chorus of minyanim. We had one, the next building had one on each side. And the question became, is it okay? Now, as we'll see, it's clearly not something we do in general, but the question is it okay now? Now, there were a lot of other shadows that came up that I haven't seen anyone deal with, besides for the question of whether this works. So, for example, this was said in jest, and we just let it go. But to be fair, it was an interesting question that no one even brought up. When we had this porch minyan, this porch backyard minyan, so our families all joined, right? It was great. Other people, it felt like other people existed, right? For several weeks, it felt like I didn't have, I knew that everyone was home and I didn't see anybody. I only saw people when I had to like throw out the garbage and get rid of chametz and stuff like that. And then suddenly, at least I knew that other people were alive because we had this minyan. But my whole family came out to the minyan. And at some point, someone in the minyan said, "Hey, we've all become the partnership minyanim of Dagon." Because every minyan was now, right? It was family style. We all had our families there. There was no separation. There's no mechitza. I haven't seen a single tshuva deal with this question. I assumed it was fine. I still think it was probably fine, though I'm not sure the minyan worked, which may be why it was fine. I don't know. But before we look at the sugya, the meta issues of whether we have a motivation to do this were that, on the one hand, we don't want to have minyanim in shul because we want to avoid contagion. On the other hand, people are going absolutely crazy, both because schedule and regularity is part of what keeps us sane in general. Regular religious ritual is important. It's part of what keeps us going. And social isolation is driving people crazy, and people's mental health at some point has to be taken into account. And therefore, to allow some sort of communal davening experience, especially when they didn't allow it on Seder night. And no, Seder is when people get together, a family, and everyone here is alone, to allow something, right? There was clearly a motivation there. And therefore, we were already entering the territory of Sha'arat Chag, which we talked about at the beginning of the year, that when we're in that realm of Sha'arat Chag, of extenuating circumstances, we sort of know the conclusion we want. The question is, do we feel like we can get there with integrity within the bounds of halacha? And this sort of minor issue became a machloket, I think, not just about the local issues, but about the meta issues. So let's look at some of the main sources, and then we'll, I'm not going to read through all the tshuvot, but I want to look at. You want to say hello, Ezra? Okay, you can say hello. But
Hey.
ah, well, you're saying hello? Aaron, you also want to say hello? No, okay, just Ezra wants to say hello. Okay, Ezra, you want to go get in pajamas? No, you want to stay here for a few minutes? Okay, you stay for a few minutes. Okay. So let's look at some of the basic sources, and then I want to try to, again, frame the tshuva. Okay, you can go get pajamas. Go get pajamas. This is the perennial danger of Zoom Shirim, is kids. There's like neo-Nazis Zoom bombing, and then there's people's kids climbing on top of them. These have been the two problems that people talk about while giving Zoom Shirim. Thank God, that's why we have these like layers of security for our shiurim, so we don't have the Zoom bombing problem. I know certain shuls where that happened. Rav Asher Weiss had a shiur that was Zoom bombed by neo-Nazis. It was not a good situation. Okay, so let's look at some of the basic issues here. So if you look at the Word document that I shared in that file, these are just some basic sources. So there are really two main sugyot. One is this Gemara in Brachot, which tells you about the ways in which you can combine for Birkat HaMazon with different groups in different places. Say it again. Oh, you don't have access to the file. But Jamie, you said you found the file, right? So where is it? I don't know where you got you. Okay. I mean, I can sh I can I can I can also I can screen share it for now. It doesn't matter. I'll screen share it for now. Probably easier this way anyways, but in general that's where it is. So there are really two main sugya. One of them is very, very complicated, and I just didn't think we would get anywhere if I went through the whole sugya in depth, which is the Gemara in Eruvin. But the Gemara in favor, shall we say, of these minyanim is this Gemara in Brachot that talks not about minyan, but it talks about benching. So the Gemara there says, or the Mishnah says, that shtei chavurot shayu ochlot b'vayit echad, bizman shemiktzatzan roin elu et elu, harei elu mitzarfin lezimun. V'imlav, elu mizamnin latzman, v'elu mizamnin latzman. So the Gemara there tells you, the Mishnah there tells you, that when it comes to Birkat HaMazon, it comes to Zimun, so if you have three people, you have two groups in one house, in different parts of the house, but they can see each other, so they can combine for Zimun. Now this obviously, right, the minyan issue is going to be limited to combining men. The Zimun issue is not. The Zimun issue is for any Zimun, male or female Zimun. So if they can see each other, that's the qualification here. So then they can join. V'im lav, if they can't see each other, so elu mizamnin latzman, ve'elu mizamnin latzman. If not, they have to stay in two separate groups. So here we see two things. One is that the qualification for a combination of these groups is sight. But the second thing is that we're talking specifically, it's clear that we're not talking about one person and one person. We're talking about a independent unit, which could be its own Zimun in each place. Because what the Mishnah tells you is if they see each other, they can be a group of six. And if not, then each group makes their own zimun, which forces us to ask that even in the context of Birkat HaMazon, it's clear that site allows them to combine, but it could be that site only allows people to combine if they are already halachically recognized groups, and then they're allowed to make a larger group. But it doesn't tell you necessarily whether you can create a halachically significant group with the only standard being site. The Gemara then adds that Tana in Ye Shamash Benahem, if there's a waiter that serves both groups, so Shamash Mitzarfan, so the waiter can combine these groups to be viewed conceptually as one. And this is Nifsak LaHalacha in number two, in Shulchan Aruch Kuf Tzadihe, the Chtei Chaburot Sha'ochlot B'vayit Echad B'shnei Batim. And here it is clear that it's not just in one house, it's even in two. So Im Miktzatan Ro'ena Eidelo Et Eilu Mitzarfin LaZimun, if they see each other, they combine. And if not, they don't combine. And if they share a waiter, so then they combine. And this presumes that they entered the meal having in mind that they would join together. Some say that if there's a public thoroughfare between the two houses, then even if they see each other, so then they cannot combine. Now, the Rashbash deals with the question of whether this works for a minyan. And he's going to develop some of the issues from the sugya in Eruvin. The sugya in Eruvin, like I said, is very complicated. There, it makes it clear that people have to be in the same place and talks about all types of different sort of configurations that you can have. That would make a minion problematic. Okay. Well, let's look at the Rashbash. So the Rashbash was asked, he said, Pamim shatzibor ba'im levedah kneset ve'enam mashlim la'zerah. The Rashbash says that there are people who come to shul, and sometimes you'll have some people in the main shul, and some are in the Azara. They're on a different floor, they're in the Azara, whatever it is. Can they combine on the basis of sight? And the posek that they were talking to said yes. So they asked the Rashbash, is this right? And he says, Nireh, Shem Moreba Zesamach Lotash Shaninu Beperek Shlosha Shachlu. He said, it must be that he based himself on benching, on Birkat HaMazon. Skipping to the next paragraph, what I have highlighted now, and he says, the Yeshef Reish, Bein Tseiruv Shel Tfilah Shasha'altem L'Tseiruv Shel Birkat HaMazon. But there's a difference. Shet Tseiruv Shel Tfilah Shasha'altem Alav, he said, I gotta explain something to you. He said, there's a problem. Birkat HaMazon, the Gemara says you can combine when each of them is already a halachically recognized zimun. So then, if each of them independently has a halachic status of a zimun, so great, you can combine. But to create a group, you need to be in the same place. You can't create a group simply by sight. Sight allows you to link to pre-existing halachically extant and recognized groups. It doesn't allow you to create a group. Whenever you need a halachically significant group, they need to exist in the same place. And he says, what's the proof? Because it said, Shnei Chavrot, right? It said that two groups can join. And then if you skip down, he says, V'hineh, Yesh berkat hamazon zimun bazeh, ma she'en ken b'tfila, she're b'tfila, kol she'yesh b'vein ha'kneset yud, kol ha'omdim b'chutz, afilo ein sham asara, yotzim yedei chovat kadish u'kdusha b'chol davar she'b'kdusha, v'avu bi she'en mitzatan ro'en elu et elu. He says, when it comes to a minyan, you need 10 in shul. But once you have 10 in shul, so then people can join and answer Kaddish and Kedusha if they're standing outside the shul, even if they don't see each other. So this has nothing to do with it. Meaning, when it comes to Birkat HaMazon, you need two separate units, and then they can be joined by sight. By Minyan, so first of all, neither by Birkat HaMazon nor by Minyan can you create a group on the basis of sight alone. And the second point is that Minyan actually has a kula, has a leniency. Once you've created the group, so then anybody can join simply by hearing. They don't even have to see it. But to create the group, you can't create a group based on sight alone. And he proves it from the Sugya and Ketzad Solin, Min Agaf Alachutz Kilachutz, Min Agaf Filifnim Kilifnim, V'agaf Ratzal Omer HaPetach, and he said, what is this talking about? So this is why I said I didn't want to get too much into this, but because it's very, very complicated. But the Gemara in Eruvin has this question in the context of Eruv Chatzerot, of combining different parts of a chatzer for the purpose of creating an eruv. And the Gemara there talks about different ways in which you consider a chatzer part of one group, different configurations of a small chatzer that opens into a big chatzer. So from the vantage point of the big chatzer, they don't see any wall between them. Sorry. Yeah, they don't see a wall from them to the small chatzer because they just see straight in. From the vantage point of the small one, they see the sides of the wall of the big one, or vice versa. I have to look at a picture. And then at the end of this complicated case, the Gemara had said, and the same thing is true of tefillah. So you see that there they can all see each other, right? The presumption there is that they can see each other. The only question is whether they combine. And the simple implication of the Gemara there is that if they're not in the same place, even if they can see each other, they cannot combine. Okay, I'm going to skip now to the Rashba. So the Rashbash tells you that there are two reasons that this doesn't work, right? One is that sight is only ever a mitzaref of... It only ever combines pre-existing groups. It doesn't create a group. And the second is that tefillah and Birkat HaMazon are somewhat different in their standards. And he proves that in the context of minyan, you need to be in the same place to create the minyan. And that's what he proves from the complex sugya and eruvin of these people who can clearly see each other but aren't allowed to combine for the purpose of eruv chatzer or minyan because they're in different courtyards. The Rashba, on the other hand, says as follows. If you look in 4, he says, Sha'alta, you asked, Amashe samchu b'chogli lotenu, she'eshliach tzibor omei b'teva, she'gvoa asara v'rachava arba'a, v'she'esh l'mechitzot gvoot. Motzir arabim b'tfila v'onin acharav kadish v'chol davar she'pkdusha. The person asked him, he said, wait a second. If you need to be in the same place, then why can a chazan ever daven with the rest of the shul? Because in general, in halacha, a reshut, a halachic domain, is 10 by 4, which is not so big, right? 10 tall, 4 wide. And they used to have, basically, right, their bimot, the person is standing on this bima. V'i mishum de reshu ben Levi. And if you're going to point to reshu ben Levi, damar ein mechita shel barzel mafseket ben Yisrael avim v'shamayim, and maybe you'll point to the Gemara in Sota, and this is what the Rashbash said in the part that I skipped over, that when you already have a minyan, anybody even behind the walls, even outside the shul, as long as they hear the minyan, can join because even a metal wall can't separate between the Jews and God. Lo nemru divrei Rabbi Shuel b'sheyesh hasara b'makom shleach tzibor. That seems to be only when there's 10 where the tzibor is davening, and then you combine from outside. So then he says, tshuva, kol mashamu perakol gaga bot. All that sugyan erevin that I mentioned, that b'kranash nifritzah b'miluah l'gdola, lo amru b'ele b'batim v'chulakim, l'fish zeb b'fnei atzmo l'tashmisho, v'zeb b'fnei atzmo l'tashmisho. He said, what the reason the Gemara in Erevin thinks that two houses or two courtyards that join into each other can't combine, that's because they are set off for a different use. And nevertheless, afilo hachi, kol shenifritz haktana b'miloa l'gdola, nerom kilo haktana, pitcha shogdola v'ragdeya gdola p'ktana. And yet, under certain circumstances, we'll view it as if the smaller one is part of the larger one. And he says here, avalateva, skipping down, imei otak vohav rachava ba'alat mechitzo, lo letashmish b'fnei atzmo omedet, el letashmish b'ra knetzet, v'raglei b'ra knetzet b'teva. He said, the chazan question doesn't bother me at all, because the bima is clearly there for the purpose of the shul. That doesn't separate it at all. So he just skips over that. I'm going to skip down here. Right, b'nei kach harayu k'ilu b'tochat tzibor, and therefore it's as if he's part of the minyan. Ulefinin on ufichach onin acharav afil otan shebazaro ben mezrat anashim, ben mezrat anashim, and therefore no matter where you are in the shul, you combine with the chazan. And then he proves it from the Gemara in Sukkah about the shul in Alexandria, where it was so big they couldn't see anybody. They were just, right, they would have semaphore, they'd have flags telling people when to answer amen. And then he says, Oda Neomer, now I'll push it farther. Shef Shar Lomar, you could say, Shekol Sheroin Elu et Elu, Kihil Vehem Vivairachad Dami Umitstarfin, Vidum Yadizimun Shebrikat Amazon, and it could be that sight alone will combine them like by Birkat Amazon. Now this is problematic because he clearly, first of all, he extends from Birkat HaMazon to Tfilah. And the second thing he does is he rejects the Rashbash, who says that when it comes to Zimun, it's only in a case where you have two pre-existing groups, but you can't, create a group unless people are together. But in the end of the day, what you have is the Rashbash, who says in no uncertain terms that sight alone cannot create minyanim, and therefore porch minyanim don't work. And the Rashba, who seems to say they will. So, okay, I think I saw a chat. Let me open this up. Yeah, one second. I'll stop the share for a second. It's just easier for me. Yeah. Jamie, yeah. You have to unmute yourself there, yeah. Having what? Oh yeah, so that was the Gemara in Erevin that he quoted. It's not a Meturgaman, but semaphore, right? That's what they say from the Gemara in Erevin. From the Gemara in Sukkah, rather. Yeah, the shul in Alexandria, they discussed that they were in one shul, but they couldn't see the front of the shul. So what they would do is they would have semaphore. Right, when they would say Yehei Shmei Rabba, Amen, Amen, Yehei Shmei Rabba, you know, the signs. That's part of his proof that, you know, you can, you know, they're all part of the same shul. But what the Rashbash will tell you is that, yeah, but that's only once you have a minion. Once you have a minion and you're in the same place, that's great. But you can't create a minion by sight alone. That's talking about a shul that has many people in it, but they're in the same place. But to create a community like that, it doesn't work. So if you look at Shulchan Aruch here, so let me share it again, and then I'll... So how do we paskin? So Shulchan Aruch is a bit complicated. Shulchan Aruch says, You need all 10 people in one place with the chazan. And if someone stands in the door from the, right? And if he stands in the door, like in the doorway, such that when you would close the door, he'd be on the outside, right? You know, if you have a big doorway, so part of it is on the in, part's on the out, he's outside. So if you just look at Sif Yud Gimel, Shulchan Aruch says, in no uncertain terms, how do we paskin? Like the Rashbash, right? And really, if you look in the Beit Yosef, it's not the Rashbash, it's the Mari Abua, based on these types of shitas, but I wanted to simplify it. Sif, that's Sif Yud Gimel, Rashbash. The Suf Yud Dalet, Shulchan Aruch says, Misha Omeda Chare Beit HaKnesset Ubenem Chalom. If you stand behind a shul and there's a window, a filu gavoa kama komod, even many, many floors, a filu ein arach of arba, even if it's not four wide, umare lahem panav misham, mitzdaref imahem asara. He joins to 10. Now, what does that sound like? At first glance, it sounds like the Rashba, right? Though it's not 100% clear because he says he joins 10. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean he can make up the 10, which is what it sounds like? Or does it mean maybe he could join to the minion, but he doesn't make up the minion? Not clear, right? Not clear. You could read it both ways. And then in Tedvav, he says, Miksatan b'tinu, miksatan b'chutz, if somewhere in, somewhere outside, u'shliach sibor toch ha-petach, and the shliach sibor is in the middle, hu mitzarfan, then he joins them, which is something like learning it from Megillah. Right? It's like the Shamash, that the Shamash can join them. So is he paskin like the Rashba? Is he not? Not clear. So if you look at the Be'er Halacha, he says, Dad, Mechudisha Rashba Davatam, Dalach Mahani Beron, Elo et Elo, Kshinifno Betchila Lekach, Mishum Gzevu Yachad, etc. Right? This is in the context of benching. And then he says, well, let's get to the key line. Ramban, etc. The Rashbash kind of dafka b'shtei chaburot. He said that, remember, the Rashbash only says this is when you have two pre-existing groups. You can't create a group from different places, right? That was the Rashbash. And he says, u'benet yoter mistab rakid divrayem. He says, that makes sense. Right? Mikra din, I want a paskin like that, that you can't combine unless you have the people in one place. V'lo chileik sham klal bein roin, zed zed le'ein roin. And there's no difference whether you see or you don't see each other. So the Rashbash, he notes, says that it doesn't work. But in, that was in Hilchot Benching. But in Hilchot Tfilah, he writes, V'im ro'in elu et elu, yuchlu leitzaref, afil omdim legamri lachutz, dumya demashe ekil mechaber, lechatchila yoter tov lahachmir, bazeh shichaznu lifnim, dekula zum'ani ro'in elu et elu, le'inyan seiru, kamalikan baramazon, novem, yichuvin rashba, v'lokotav shem zerak b'derech evshar. So the Mishnah Berurah, the way he understands Shulchan Aruch, right, so how does the Mishnah Berurah understand Shulchan Aruch? He says, look, Shulchan Aruch in one sif says, like the Rashbash, but in the next sif, it sounds like he paskins like the Rashba. Meaning in one sif, he says like sight is enough, and the other one he says it's not. So what's his solution? His solution is, l'chatchila b'diavad, ideally, we're machmir like the Rashbash, but b'diavad, if you have no choice, so we rely on the Rashba, but we really try to avoid it because the Rashba himself says that it's only possible. It's efshar. Now, it's weird because in benching, in Hilchot Kuf Tzadih Hei, the Mishnah Berurah seems to reject it entirely. In Nun Hei, he says, I don't love it, but I'm willing to be okay with it. But these are basically the two models. So with these two models in mind, so now let me throw it to you. What would you do? Right, you're faced with a situation we have right now. How do you paskin? What do you do? Do you allow porch, backyard, minyanim? I'll give you two questions, okay? Because both of these have been real shilas recently. One, when there's total lockdown, you can't have any minion. You can't be out of the house. The only possible way to have Minion is through porches and backyards. Do you allow it? Question one. Question two is, what if you're allowed to have a street Minion, which is clearly preferable, but you know that not everybody is going to keep 2 meters apart, wear a mask, etc. Even when there's another option, do you endorse the porch Minion, even though it's clearly more problematic, right? Even if you thought that you could use the porch Minion when there was no other option, do you still endorse that option when there's another option, which is borderline, right? What do you think, right? What are your, okay, so Abigail says you never allow it. Never allow it. Why not? Unmute yourself because I can't hear you. Which you don't allow which? You want to allow the porch Minion. Oh, okay. You don't want to allow either. So why? You don't want to allow either because maybe porches are also problematic. Maybe you're spreading it through porches. Okay, okay. So halachically, you don't want that. You don't want the street Minion. Okay. Okay, good. Meaning one way to take it is, look, the Rashbash is just right. Forget everything else. Right? He's just right. The notion of community are people who are in the same place. Once you have a community, you want ancillary people to combine, so everyone agrees you can listen from outside. But you can't be, just because we're in an extenuating circumstance, doesn't mean that you can rely on this Efshar and the Rajba that say you can create a community based on sight alone. So, right, now who basically takes Avigail's position? So there's, of the poskim I gave you, I know this one you read. You're channeling the at least one position you read. So who did you read of the secondary sources? What? Right, Rav Shechter. This is basically Rav Shechter. Okay, it's also Rav Yitzchak Yosef. But let's look at Rav Shechter for a second. Because I want you to pay attention not just to his halachic argument, but I want to pay attention to some of his meta claims here as well. So let's pull this up. We'll start with his English summary of it, even though the Hebrew is a bit more detailed, but let's look at the English summary and see what we can get from that first. So he says, 10 men that are standing on different porches cannot be joined together in order to constitute a minion, even though they can all see each other. In order to constitute a minion for a Dharmship of Kedusha like Kaddish and Kedusha, the 10 men must all be standing in the same room. It should be noted that in smaller spaces, such as the Shiva house, care should be taken to make sure the 10 men are davening together in the same room. Right? He says, right, this is a general problem. If less than 10 are davening in one room and less than 10 in an adjacent room, even though they can clearly see one another, this would not constitute a minyan. In order to create a minyan, there must be 10 participants davening in the same room. It should certainly be discouraged for people to make a minyan outside on the lawn, even if they maintain the minimum distance recommended by the health department. One should not place himself even into a situation of doubtful sakana in order to daven with a minyan. So, Avigail is basically channeling Rav Shechter, right? He says, now you can see that in the Hebrew one, he basically goes to the analysis we did, which is that the Rajba has a suffake. Then he notes here, right, that the Mishnah Brura notes that it's a machloket Rashbash and the Rajba. And he just says, right, it just doesn't work. Now, so first of all, he assumes that the Rashba is basically out of the equation entirely. And he even says at some point that, yes, there seems to be a contradiction in Mishnah Brura, and the Mishnah Brura's son said that different parts of Mishnah Brura were written by different people, and therefore it could just be that it was written by different people, and therefore you can't rely on the Efshar in one place in the Mishnah Brura, which is based on an Efshar in the Rashba. It's out entirely. And you can't have street minyanim, even if it's legal, because don't place yourself in suffix sakana. Now, which meta concern does he take into account? He takes into the meta concern of health, right? He doesn't like porch minyanim. And even though he knows that the cost is that there'll be no minyan, because his overarching meta concern of health prevents any other type of minyan whatsoever, he thinks that this shita is so Michutz l'machane, it doesn't exist at all. So he rejects it entirely. He just says, forget it. Okay? Now, Rav Yitzchak Yosef also rejects it, but he's Sephardi chief rabbi, okay? But I want to show you that some of his rhetoric is different, meaning he rejects it, but for a different reason. Okay. So, look at what he says. First, like Rav Shechter, his meta concern is health. Bereshit Varenu, ani chozer mavir, shall pidat Torah chayavim lishama bechlet lanchayot misrad briyut shelo lekayem tefilot b'minyan afilo b'marchev patuach. First things first, listen to the health authorities. Don't make a minyan in an open space anywhere. This was when it was still illegal. Now they've said it's okay, whatever. Im lo bishur miyuchanim umibok muvukar me'arushuyot, unless the government says it's okay. Now, by the way, there was one place that throughout all the craziness, there was a legal minyan. Do you know where it was? Can you think of the one legal place where there was a minyan through the whole craziness? It was in the coronavirus unit, where everyone was already sick in the hospital, right? So they allowed a minyan, right? There they allowed a minyan, because what are you going to do at this point? It doesn't matter, right? They allowed a minyan at that point. So apparently, I don't know, it probably wasn't in the you know, people who were really sick, but in some of the coronavirus units, or these hotels where people were actually sick and in mild conditions, so they allowed it because, you know, whatever. What's done is done.
What?
I don't know. I didn't even know that, but it's later in the tshuva. 7:15. Okay, fine. Okay. So now he says, so that's point one, right? So again, now, I do want to, I always think, right, I think I've mentioned this before, but my argument always is that a tshuva is politics in the highest sense of the word, in the Aristotelian sense of politics, meaning the point of a tshuva isn't just to paskin, and that's what I want you to notice here. It's also to persuade, it's to help people do the right thing, it's to help people feel comfortable with halacha and Torah, and therefore rhetoric is important. So you'll see that he continues. He says, "V'yesh l'kabel bazeh din shamayim b'hava." Accept this decree of heaven with love, umitoch tzar, with pain. Right? Meaning, he wants you, right? What is he worried about? He's worried about that if he's machmir on minyan, right? He wants to make it clear that what, right? What is his goal coming out of this? He's going to say it's asur to have a minyan. But you want to make it clear that why is it asur to have a minyan? Because as the saying goes, I'm not mekil, I'm not lenient on davening, I'm machmir on pikuach nefesh, right? But you got to make that clear, because otherwise people will say, oh, of course you don't care about, you're telling us to stay home, you don't care enough about minyan. You say, no, I do. So I want you to accept it with pain, right? Meaning I want you to realize that I'm not happy I have to make this decision. Right? Because he wants to, on the one hand, emphasize the importance of health, but he doesn't, right? Like, I saw a meme, right? That after they were basically telling everyone, you know, oh, try to daven when you're davening by yourself at the same time as shul, etc. So I saw a few memes, right? One person's was that, right? For 25 years, I've been davening at home, and now the rabbis want to tell me how to daven b'yechidu, right? Like, no one wants to think, right, that this is a, oh, now you have a head there, right? And then there was another one someone sent on one of the WhatsApp groups, is a son says to his father, Abba, how many years have you have the coronavirus for? You always daven at home, right? Meaning, right, you don't want people to think that this is the, right, that the reason we're saying this, we don't care about minyan, right? You need to rhetorically, while being machmir, your meta concern also has to be to say, but we're doing this because of health. You know, it was interesting that I was talking with my neighbor, right, with Rabbi Bezalel Daniel, and at the beginning of this, we said, it didn't bother me so much to daven at home, or him. And he said, you know, it's one of those funny things. For us, like, my primary involvement in Avodah Hashem is Talmud Torah. And like, I like going to shul. I think it's important. I'm obligated. But if I decide halachically I shouldn't go, so I'll daven at home. But it was one of those weird things where rabbis had to talk to people who their main outlet of spirituality was shul. Right? For the average person, davening is their main outlet, not Torah. So it's this was dafka, a harder thing for your good average from, you know, Orthodox male to accept, which was you can't go to shul. And it was weird because rabbis were, it was easier for us to say, okay, so I'll stay at home, right? Meaning I was staying at home. But what was I doing in the beginning when I was staying at home? We were still in Zman. I was teaching for, I was learning Torah for 10 hours a day, B'iyun, right? I made like 3 siyumim on Yerushalmi, right? Like, and like I would daven in between, like, you know, like I felt like I had spirituality in my life. I would, you know, the average person didn't, right? Like, so it was hard. So you have to somehow make it clear that, yeah, we feel you. Tefillah is really important. But remember, there's this meta value of health. So this is what he's trying to convey. Now he, so then he goes through the halacha. He goes through the Gemara in Psachim of Asara b'makom echad. And then he assumes, like Shulchan Aruch, in Sif Yud Gimel, that it is Asur, that we paskin like the Rashbash. And then he quotes Kedar Kama Kodesh, a million people. Now he notes, so he takes it as an obvious that the Shulchan Aruch's actual position is that it's Asur. But he says what? He says it's true that the Mishnah Brura in one place says that maybe B'sharat Chak, it's Mutter. So what does he know? He says, now what, he has a few other concerns. Rabbi Benny Blau has pointed out in his dissertation on Rabbi Avadia, meaning Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef's father, that one of the ultimate goals of Rabbi Avadia was to bring back the centrality of Maran, the Pesach of Yosef Karo, the Shulchan Aruch for Sfaradim. So one of his big claims is that if you decide that Shulchan Aruch paskins like something, then you can never rely on the opposite position at all. So that's what he says here. Shuladat marana pisharat chak shekazo in l'smochal svar hazo. Shulchan Aruch says it's asur, so you can never rely on it. And one of his meta concerns is that Sfaradim will feel that they can never go against Shulchan Aruch. U'mimelan anam b'tidan avi le'sfek sveket neged maran. And therefore you can't go against it. And then he goes farther, because one of his meta concerns is that Sfaradim will lose their identity to Ashkenazim. And even in this craziness, he's thinking about it. So what does he say? Said, what happens if you're a Sfaradi, but there are Ashkenazim around who are making a minyan? You're not making it, but you are allowed to, are you allowed to answer? He says, no, you can't even say Kaddish, right? Meaning his other meta concern, which is Svardim cannot lose their identity to Ashkenazim, comes in full force. And he knows there are going to be Ashkenazim who are going to say, but the Mishnah Brura says you're a ladder of lion at Bishaz al-Tak. And he says, not only can't you make your own minion, but I don't even want you to join with an Ashkenazi minion. Now, he doesn't think, he really thinks Ashkenazim shouldn't even do it, which he knows here, like Rosh Hashanah, and he says, like the Gra and the other sheet in the Mishnah Berurah, etc. But he also, on the other hand, wants people to feel like Tefillah is important. So he's so uncomfortable with the porch minyanim that he pulls out a different Shadat Chak. And he says, here's my solution. I want people to daven with a minyan, but I don't want them to daven with a porch because it doesn't work. And I don't want them to kowtow to Ashkenazi psak and join with an Ashkenazi minyan even if they can. So he pulls out the different one, and that is the phone minyan. He's so convinced that this is crazy, but he wants to find his own shas atchak psak. So he says, if you live v'adar b'shkunat l'achinu Ashkenazim v'kayim minyan mirpasot, You have two options. Ashkenazi, join Ashkenazim on the porches. V'yeshlo efsharut o litzaref elehem o leminyan shemushudar derech ha-telephone. Ba'asara mitpalim b'rashut achat b'yishra rishuyot. Or to join a phone minyan. Tzarech litzaref leminyan shederech ha-telephone. Shilakol adeo nechsha b'shash shetzirum mitpalim. Because that, at least, if there's 10 people in one place, you're davening at the same time as a minion, and you might even be joining the minion. And then, obviously, on Shabbos, you can't do this. But what you see is that he also, right, wants to come up with some Shas Hadchak Psak, but he's so convinced that this one doesn't work that he comes up with the other pretty problematic one, which is, okay, just go with phones, right, which is a sugya in and of itself. What's the problem, right? The problem is, and why is it that poskim who aren't normally come? I should turn on the light. It's getting dark here. What's the problem? Why is it that poskim pushed on the other side to allow this? So as I said before, because they have a shas hadchak. Regularity is important to people's lives. Religious regularity is important to people's lives. And being able to see people is important to people's lives. So being able to solve that by relying on a Shas Hadchak on the Rajba, that's a big deal. So here you have, I'll pull up Rav Asher Weiss. This is part of a fascinating, in general, 100-page document that they shared of all of Rav Asher Weiss's tshuvot on the corona issues. So here, first he goes to the sugya. Now, first he makes quite a wild chiddush in the Rajba. Right? The Rajba had said, maybe this works, right? Efshar. He reads Efshar not as maybe, but as you can say, like positively, which is a very strange chiddush. So here he says, right, this is what he says. Odani omar she'efshar lomar. Im kamanot b'derech safek, o shem kamanot tov, da'omer ani she'efshar lomar kach. He says, he doesn't think it might be true. It's, I think you can say, lahalacha. And then he quotes Rishon and he thinks that he says this is true. And then he says, right, la halacha, that he thinks lechatchila you shouldn't rely on it, but b'diavad it's totally fine. Right, lechatchila yoter tov, etc. Because of barur k'shemesh b'tzaharayim. This is for sure true. Right now he thinks that it works even right mikra din. Okay. Second. But I want to just make one point about the rhetoric he uses. One second. Let me just find it. Well, let me just make this point, right? I mean, it could be that just halachically he's convinced that this works. But there's also something powerful about him saying that, you know what, it could be that even reading this as, right, you see how he says, Baruch HaShemesh B'Tzaharayim, Baruch HaShemesh B'Tzaharayim, it's clear that you can do this, right? You see that what he's doing is, even though he knows that this is like a huge machlokes, right, the rhetoric he uses, he does this a lot, is very confident, which gives you, you know, he wants to make people feel comfortable. And I think part of the reason is, and he just published a video on this, is that even now, right, why would you rhetorically, even when you know it's a machlokes, stake out a very strong position and reinforce it over and over rhetorically? This is clear as day that this is true. Right? Why would you do that if you know it's a machlokes? So either you're totally convinced, which is strange because it's machlokes and he knows that. But why would you do this? So I think, and if you watch his video that he sends out, it's in English, it's like 8 minutes. I think part of the reason is you'll see in the video what he says is that even though the government has allowed us to daven on the streets again, he said we should stay at home and daven on the porch. Why? And here's his meta argument. We don't keep the dictates of the government just because the government said it. We do it because the Torah tells us to be healthy. And therefore, just because you're allowed to daven in the street doesn't mean you should. But if you want to keep that, right, it's one thing to say you're not allowed to have a minyan at all. Fine. It's another thing to say, even once the government says you're allowed to have a minyan on the street, which is good according to everybody, I want you to stay inside and have a porch minyan because I think it's healthier. In order to be able to do that, you need to exude confidence that this is a position you can rely on. If you say, well, maybe yes, maybe no, I don't know. So maybe people will say, okay, I'll do it when I have no other choice. Or they're not going to do it when you have another choice. They're going to say, okay, I'm allowed to go outside. But if you want to convince people to stay inside as long as possible, regardless of what the government says, because you want to be uber machmir on pikuach nefesh, you need to exude confidence that the porch minyanim are legitimate to keep people there longer than the government might be able to. And I think that's part of, now, it's also his personality that he tends to exude confidence in his positions. I was sent this by a neighbor of mine that from his brother, Rav Eitan Kupietsky, who also was Makil. One second. Let me pull it up for a second. No, that's not this. Wait. Are you seeing the contrast? What are you seeing right now? No, that's not what I need. I had to send in your, what's it called? I had to send in the picture of you are here. Okay, you see the contrast now? By Eitan Kupietsky, is that what you see now? Yeah? Okay. So now he halachically, right, he notes this tension in Shulchan Aruch, right, that in one sif it says it's mutter, in one sif it says he's not. He says that it means that lechatchila you shouldn't be the avad, you should. But here's what I want to point out, his rhetoric. His rhetoric is very clear. He says, "Lachen minyan didan she'ekev magevara karona, because of the corona that Hashem yimna megafem nachlatenu, God should keep us safe, etc. Since we can't do it, you can rely on the kula." But then he says, well, how does he convince people they should do it? Ashreinu shatzimaom l'tfilat rabim b'minyan laviem shebashamayim. Ko rabash Yisrael im eina nevi'im b'nei nevi'im eim. He says, what's my proof that we should do this? Because we're so lucky that people want to daven, that they're thirsty for davening. And if the Jews aren't prophets, they're the children of prophets. Yisrael. This is what people are doing. It must be right. And later on, he notes that he found out that, in fact, the last time that this was used, widely here in this footnote is mufla mufla beina beina likrosh mikresh samach lakel hayab is man magefa bitalish tkhon hashem likanes bibidud, right? One of the last times they used this was mass quarantine in Italy, right? But what's his rhetoric? His rhetoric is, look, I know this is not lechatchila, not like Rav Asher Weiss, right? Rav Asher Weiss's way of convincing people they should do it is exuding confidence you can paskin like the Rashba. Rav Eitan Kupietsky says, no, I know this is b'diavad. I know that it's not what I would say ab initio. What's the rhetoric he uses to convince people that it's okay? Two things. This is what people have done and always done, b'shas hadrach, and the other is, look how beautiful it is that people care about davening, right? Meaning, yes, it's shas hadrach, but the rhetoric he uses is, but remember, the meta value here is that people care about davening. Isn't that a good enough reason for us to rely on the good Jews in the street who have found a way that's safe to daven? Right? That's a completely different sort of rhetorical frame to encourage people to utilize this heter, which is embrace the beauty of the fact that people like tefillah, right? Which is another sort of meta concern and a different rhetorical framing. We have 5 minutes left, and I'll note that Moshe Sternbach, he takes the middle approach. Moshe Sternbach says, you know, and this is like the third way you can take it, which is to not exude confidence, to be, right, and not say Shazat Chak, is to express how hesitant you are. So Moshe Sternbach says, but you'll see rhetorically it's also interesting. He says, Hein kol levav davai v'kol rosh l'chaliba gei yidera kashot v'eshut machalat korona v'eretz hakos rachay olam. Right? Everyone is sad. Everyone is in pain when we hear about the coronavirus, and everyone should be healed, etc. And people are dying, and it's, right, you know, it's terrible. He says, our first obligation is, and this is why I say, right, every tshuva is not just answering the question he's involved in. You take an opportunity to instruct religiously. And he says, v'chov alinu mutin l'paish b'maseinu v'lachshov al ma sha'asa Hashem lanu kacha. Right, we have an obligation to do tshuva, to daven, l'tlodeinu l'kodesh baruch hu b'tfila v'dachanunim. That's his first point. Now his second is, don't go to shul. People are davening at home. Now, if you want to convince people to daven at home and keep themselves safe, rhetorically, you got to reinforce that. So he says, God will reward you for not going to shul, as if you did. Like Chazal say, Chashav Adam Lasot Mitzvah Venenas Lo'asah Malor Diluk Asa'ah. But what about doing it through the Mir Pasot? So he says it's based on the Rajba, but he says the Rajba himself says it's Efshar. And it's a problem because even according to the Rajba, maybe it doesn't work if there's a Rishut Harabim in the middle, etc. So what does he do? So he comes up with some sort of compromise. And he says, here's his conclusion, because we're really running short. You can do it, b'di'avad, right? He goes through, his rhetorical frame is to, and how does he prevent this from, right? One of the things I think that the meta concern that people don't want is that this becomes the new norm. Because, you know, why ever go to shul if we can just do this? His answer is easy. I'm not really sure it works, and it acknowledging, not like Rav Eitan Kubietzki, that it's a suffix, but to say, that it's a bidyavad, but to say, no, I really don't know if it works at all. And because of that, rhetorically and also halakhically, what he does is he comes up with a compromise. And he says, do it, but what the chazan should do is when he davens chazarta shots, he should have in mind that it's a tefillah nidava, that it's an optional tefillah. Because I'm not really sure it's mutter, so what will I say? Look, Kaddish Kedusha, worse comes to worse, you said extra words. The real problem is if it doesn't work is bracha levatala. So the worst thing you could do is chazar hashatz. What's his compromise? Solve chazar hashatz problem by having in mind that it's tefillah nidava. Now, first of all, this accomplishes making it clear that it's a safek on a meta level, right? It makes it clear that this is a bidiyavad that's only under the circumstances. Halachically, it manages to acknowledge the fact that this is not ideal by mitigating the halachic factors. Just to say what we did in Arminian, the conclusion I came to is more of a Talmud or a Shechter. I didn't want to have the minion, but I wasn't going to be the reason that the minion didn't happen. So the compromise we had was, we'll always do, or as much as we can, we'll do Heicha Kedusha, right? Where we won't have Chazar HaShatz, we'll all daven together, right? Like, half Kedusha, where you just daven together up till Kedusha, and this way the Chazan never repeats, and this way you don't have a Brach Levatala. That was the compromise we came up with by us. I'll just finish with saying that, again, what I think that is interesting about this is that there's clearly these meta concerns going on, and you see that the poskim are both poskening on the shaila, but as in anything else, in the middle of it, they're also using this opportunity to acknowledge and encourage people to recognize that it's a religious value to stay healthy, trying to make sure that the psakim that they give will not inadvertently affect health. They're trying to make sure that they don't create a new norm where shul collapses because, you know, you've created something new. They want to encourage people, give people, you know, a little bit of chizuk that they need. And you see how this shaila becomes their opportunity to reflect their positions about health and halacha and give people spiritual guidance and strengthen them in davening and all types of things in the middle. And this is, as we've talked about throughout the year, that's how all of psak works, right? Psak is complicated by these extenuating circumstances and by the rhetoric that you need to incorporate to make sure that you give a holistic view and a full halachic perspective and a full religious view. Okay, like I said, the real reason I wanted to go through this was because I'd been debating it over Chag when we decided whether to have our own Porch Minyan. So I figured I would at least share it with you and go through some of the halachic issues and the meta issues. We'll see what we do next week. I'm not 100% sure yet, but it's good to see you guys again. Keep sane in whatever country.